to read two verses of scripture from that well-known chapter of John 19. John's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 17. And he went out, that's Jesus, bearing his cross to the place called Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. And with him two others, one on this side and one on that, and Jesus in the middle. And then verse 25, and by the cross of Jesus stood his mother and the sister of his mother, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary of Magdala. As I said, these are very well known verses of scripture, but I just have a burden, an impression to say something about the cross of Jesus. There wouldn't be a gospel to preach without the cross. It rightly stands at the centre of the gospel story. In fact, it stands at the centre of human history. There are references to the cross, as we know, in the Old Testament, because everything written prior to the incoming of the Lord Jesus was looking forward to that momentous event. I could have read of that episode in the journeys of the children of Israel when they came across a place where the water was bitter, and the cure was to throw in wood to make the water sweet. It's the type of the cross. I could have read of the brazen serpent, that picture of sin born in the body of the Lord Jesus, lifted high above the people. Another picture of the cross. There are other references to that awful event. Prophetically it says, they will look upon him whom they have pierced. It speaks of David of being wounded in the house of his friends. Everything was looking forward to this momentous event. And that line of the hymn we sometimes sing, as soon as this reign of sin began, I can't remember it exactly, but a remedy was offered. The hymn basically says that soon as sin came onto the scene, God had a remedy. It's wonderful, isn't it, that God is not left without a remedy. Can't tell you exactly why sin came into this world. One of the enigmas, because we're not God. All I do know is that sin came in, and it has not frustrated God's plan that men should be in his presence forever, because God came in with a remedy. We see that right from the beginning of Genesis. Judgment was pronounced on the serpent, that his head would be crushed. And right at the very beginning of time, dear friend, the problem of sin was to be solved. And it took all those years, centuries to come to pass, and then one day, and the Lord Jesus appeared on this earth. The incarnation. A wonderful event. But I'm not here to preach about the birth of Jesus. The world and the religious world often spends much time on the birth of Jesus. Many wise men, so-called, have spent years talking about the life of Jesus. And it surely is a study for the believer, the life of Jesus. But what I want to focus on tonight is the cross. The cross is a symbol of Christianity, as we know. Churches, for whatever, however they may be, but they're built, I'm talking about established ones, in the shape of a cross. People wear the cross around their neck. It's a well-known symbol. But my dear friend, it's not supposed to be a symbol. It was an actual event. People, you know, we say that we're living in a very godless age, and so we are. But on the other hand, people still are very religious. We have a neighbour who does all the right things, goes to church, does many good things, and yet, as far as we know, she hasn't come to Christ. She hasn't come to the cross. Because, as I see it from Scripture, if you're to be saved from your sins, if you're to have eternal life tonight, dear friend, you need to come to the cross. not just to understand, not just to look at it as a symbol, an event, but to be there and to have to do with Jesus, to have a personal transaction with him, and to need to take your place figuratively at the cross. I read these two scriptures because John, more than any of the others, speaks in a very personal way. If you read the accounts of the crucifixion, two of them just say that he was crucified. Luke says that he was crucified, and there was two thieves, one on one side and one on the other side. But John, when he writes, as it's often been noted, I'm not saying anything new, but it struck me afresh, it says that two of those, one on this side and one on that, which shows the immediacy of the situation, that John felt himself to be there. I'm sure he was there. He says that there were two thieves who were rightly there. We know from other scriptures, we indeed justly. They deserve to be there. But John says there was one on this side and one on the other, and Jesus in the middle. And that's what impressed me. John was there actually. But you know, I wonder if you've ever been there, figuratively speaking. Have you been to the cross of Christ? You know, I've been reading Pilgrim's Progress afresh, and it's very interesting, isn't it? The tortuous way he goes through to get on the road to salvation. And this great burden on his back, which is a burden of sin, as we all know. But it didn't leave him until he got to the cross. It was at that point, when he got to the cross, that his burden rolled off his back and it went off down the hill. My dear friend, it isn't until you get to that point of being at the cross that your burden will roll away. Burden of sin. And the immediacy of what John says here just lit up. It says, one on this side. He was there, dear friend. I wonder if you have taken that place at the cross of Jesus. There's a gospel hymn I heard the other day, and I know what it means to sing it. Some of these gospel hymns, some are better than others, but I'm sure you know this one. There's room at the cross for thee. Though millions have come, there's room just for one. There's room at the cross for thee. It's a wonderful thing about the gospel. It's available to all, but you have to go there yourself. Millions have come, and surely throughout the centuries, God's grace, you know, how many thousands and tens of thousands have come to Christ, bowed before him, owned him as Saviour, repented of their sins and put their trust in him as the Saviour. Millions have come, but the point is, dear friends, that there is room for one. There's room at the cross for thee. Wonder if tonight, if never before, you've taken your place at the foot of the cross. It's a place of reproach, but you know there's a place for you. You can't go there in your pride, but we read of a woman this afternoon who had no pride. She was willing to be counted as a dog. I know it's got a typical aspect in terms of the Israel and so forth, but the point is that that woman went to the Lord without any hint of pride. And if you're to get blessing tonight, dear friend, you need to go humbly and simply to the cross of Christ. The one who had every right to everything, he was one with God. And yet it says of Jesus that he made himself of no reputation. Think, as he saw that woman there, you know, begging for blessing, to take the position of a dog, how the Lord himself must be thinking, I was rich, and I became poor for your sakes. He made himself of no reputation. What a stoop it was, you know. I think of who he was, and the Lord Jesus, creator of the universe. And not only that, upholding everything. So it said upholding everything by the word of his power. And yet there he was, dying on a Roman cross, in agony and shame, made himself of no reputation. What a place it is, you know. Place of scorn, ignominy, shame, hatred, evil. But you need to go there if you're to get blessing. That woman we read of this afternoon, she knew that blessing was only found by coming to Jesus. There was nowhere else to find blessing, and she wasn't going to be put off. Tonight, dear friend, if you're near the blessing, don't be put off. The devil would try to distract you. The devil would even use religion, as he used these scribes and Pharisees, and even the disciples, to put you off. But the Spirit was working in her heart, as the Spirit may be working in your heart tonight, to draw you to the Lord Jesus, to draw you to the cross. And as we said, that God, you know, he will bless you. But if you seek after him, he will not cast you out. Him that cometh to me, the Lord said, I will no wise cast out. This was a test, but you know, she received the blessing. And I can tell you tonight, dear friend, if you come to the cross of Christ, you'll receive the blessing. One, they crucified him. And there was one on this side and one on that, and Jesus in the middle. He has to take that place. He shines out between the two. They were both sinners. They both deserve to be there, dear friend, as you and I deserve to be there. We are no better. You may think so in your pride and in your arrogance that you're better than these two thieves. God views you as no different. There is no difference, for all have sinned. But there was one in the middle. How different he was. Son of God. Think of that, you know. There's something about Jesus that was different. I know in one sense in his walk here, he took a place amongst men, and you could say he wasn't recognisable. But in his death on the cross, there was a glory and a dignity which was purely his. Think of him dying on the cross in ignominy and shame. And yet the hardened Roman centurion, he said, truly, this man was Son of God. I wonder if you've come to this place ever before, cross of Jesus. I read in verse 25, it says, and by the cross of Jesus stood his mother and the sister of his mother. There were those that were prepared to be identified with him. And if you put our trust in him as Saviour and Lord, then there is room to be identified with him. He's still rejected. You know, it's a wonderful privilege as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus, to be identified with him now. Because if you're a believer in him, then you belong to him. You don't belong to this world. This world is not our home. And many of us remembered him this morning. Not of the one who is dead, but the one who was dead, but is now living to the ages of ages. But we remember him. Not only do we remember him, but we take our stand with him. We identify with him. He's still rejected today. You've only got to go out into the street and talk about the Lord Jesus to know that he's still rejected. The world, as it's often been said, the last they saw of Jesus was on the cross. But for the believer, he knows that he's not on the cross. And he's not in the grave either. He had to go into the grave to face the complete removal of all that I am. He bore our sins in his body on the tree. He was buried so that the sin question could be completely dispensed with. That heart of which we were speaking of this afternoon, it is incurable. You can't do anything with it. And the Lord Jesus died to put it away, put our sins away, put that whole character of man away, that he's been raised for our justification. He's delivered for our offences, the scripture says, been raised for our justification, so that we stand on a new ground. You know, men still like to try and stand on their good works. They never get blessing, and never get into heaven. They never have eternal life on the basis of good works. how foreign it is to our sinful nature. We like to think that we can do some little bit to merit God's favour. The only position that God accepts is when we take our place at the cross and we accept Christ's righteousness. What does Paul say? He became sin for us, that we might become God's righteousness in him. Wonderful proposal God offers in the glad tidings. I wonder if you've accepted that proposal. Gospel is really a great proposal, isn't it? From God to man. And many have rejected it and are rejecting it, but many are accepting. Gospel goes out tonight that you might accept that wonderful invitation. Come to the cross of Christ. That's what impressed me, to be there, as it were, but to come right to the place where he was. To understand that I should have been there. He died for me. Jesus died, it says, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. He died in my place. He died the death that I deserve to die. We can only understand that as we come to the cross. So it not just becomes a picture or a symbol, but it's an actual place where Jesus died. It's an actual place where you can come in spirit and have that wonderful transaction where you understand by faith that he died for you and was buried and rose again and is coming again. Well, I just leave that with you. It's a short, I have much on my heart to say apart from that. But this is an ongoing thing. If we first come to the cross, there's room at the cross for you. But then these women here, they were glad to identify themselves with him. And you know, there were those that came out of their shell, as it were. Think of Nicodemus. In John 3, he came to Jesus by night. He was feeling his way. But by the end of the gospel, he begs the body of Jesus, along with Joseph. He comes out, as it were. You don't see him at the cross exactly, but I feel that in spirit he'd been there. He'd understood what it meant for Jesus to die. He becomes a disciple in the Lord. To follow him. What's a disciple? It's to follow the Lord, isn't it? And it's a path of ridicule, but the end is glory. Just as the future Jesus was glorious, you know, I love that scripture. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. It wasn't easy. He endured the cross. It wasn't easy. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured it. Well, dear friends, I'd offer you this wonderful position tonight. There's room at the cross for you. We sung, didn't we? Oh, the cross of Christ is wondrous. There I learn God's heart to me. You won't really learn God's heart anywhere else but at the foot of the cross. Sometimes these hymns speak far more effectively than we can ever do. But it's the truth and the power of the scriptures. Christ, you know, died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried, rose again the third day. Well, may we have a greater impression of what it meant for Jesus to go that way. And for us to come that way too. We can't follow him into his atoning death, but it says, where I go, you shall follow me thereafter. He died for us, but as we take our place there, then we realise that we died with him. The teaching of the Red Sea and the Jordan and all that is for the believer to understand. But it's a wonderful thing that the Lord opens all this up. But it starts by coming to that place, the place of a skull, place where man's intelligence is empty. All that I am mentally has to go. All my pride, all my arrogance has to go. It's a place of a skull. But it's that same very place that God made his heart known. As we sung, there I learn God's heart to me. May we learn it afresh tonight, and at doing so, be like these women of old who became disciples of Jesus. May it be so for his name's sake.